Well, hey, welcome to the River Church. For those of you that this is your first time here, yeah, we like to hoot and holler and celebrate kids. And there are some very boisterous teenagers who love Sarah so much. She is making an amazing impact in our kids' lives. So if you are, hanging out in the back, there's plenty of seats now as our kids are exiting for church. So welcome to the River Church. If this is your first time or if you have prayer requests, we have some blue cards in the backs of the seats. You can fill those out, please, and put those in the black offering buckets in the back. This is a great way for us to get to know you. If this is your first time, you can just fill out some information. We'd like to reach out and just welcome you to church, welcome you to our family, and just let you know the fun stuff that's going on here at the River Church. On the back of those cards, there's a place for prayer requests, and we take these every week and pray through them, pray for them. So if there are things that you would like to have prayed for, just know you fill that out, and we will just lift those up before the Lord. So that is going on there. So if you are interested about knowing about the church, more about the church, if you're interested about saying, hey, I really like that message that Nick did on generosity a few months back, how do I find that again? Well, there's a couple of places that you can go. You can go to our website, trcdurango.com, or you can go to our app, and you can find our app if you go to the web browser. Go on to trcdurango.com, scroll up until you find download our app. That'll walk you through the process. So some great places to do that. I want to just share this before we move on. And I've got a special flag that will wave on the screen as I do this. This week, this last week, was Veterans Day. And, you know, there was a parade, and there is a, oftentimes a forgetting of our history and a forgetting of what has taken place in the past for those that have served. Well, I just want you to know that in this house, we will not forget you. We will remember and reflect on the fact that you have served proudly. So would you please stand, all the veterans that are in here today, so that we can honor you. We can say thank you for your service. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Your sacrifice, your willingness to step in front and to fight the battles that the rest of our country have not been able to fight, but you have stood there and you have risked your own lives to do the very thing, to fight for the freedom that we have in this place. And I want to just say thank you for all that you've done. And I know that it's not Memorial Day, but we do remember those two that have sacrificed, the ultimate sacrifice, and gave their lives. Always. Because we will not forget. We will remember in this house what you've done. So thank you very much. All right. I want to just pray this morning and pray for our tithes, our offerings, our giving. This is a way that we can continue the ministry in this church and go out and be a resource, be a light. And this is just some awesome stuff that's been going on in this place through the giving. And I want to just ask that the Lord would continue to multiply and press in and move forward all the things that he has brought forward through that giving in this place. Last month was amazing. This month is continuing to go great. Guys, thank you for your obedience and your willingness to give what the Lord has called you to give and to pour that out. So let's pray for those offerings and gifts today. Lord, I thank you for all that you have brought forward, for all that you provide for each and every one of us. And Lord, may you today just take these gifts, these financial gifts, these offerings, Lord, and would you just use them for your glory? Lord, would you help us as a church be wise and good stewards with all that you place before us? And may all of it be used for your glory to bring new lives to you, Lord, As we celebrate the six salvations today in middle school youth group, God, we just give you glory and honor. We know that there is a party in heaven because of what has taken place in their hearts. Lord, we pray that there would be even more. We pray, Lord, that from this place, the influence that carries out from each and every one of us, that we would just continue to be lights and love in our community and share that truth of who you are. We praise you, Lord. And God, I ask you that you would just speak through Nick today, that you would just use this time to bring forth new understanding of Philippians. And Lord, may you just transform all of our hearts. To your glory, we pray and we lift all this up in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Nick.
Amen. How is everybody? Nice. Nice. Good. Did I hear maybe an awesome in there? Or pretty much awesome? There we go. Look at that. Awesome. Awesome. I'll take it. Hey, before I get started, a couple of things that I want to mention. We have put it up as this is the time of year that we do angel trees. And so, yes, there are three Christmas trees set up. And I know that's seemingly way too early to have Christmas trees up, but they're called angel trees. What else is a better reminder, right? So anyways, how it works, if there's kids that you want to support for Christmas, and a lot of this is connected through the missionaries that we work with, and there's also, there'll be some local kids, there will be, there's Palomas, Romania, a number of them, okay? And so if you want to go, you can actually pick kids off of there so that you have a face, you have somebody to pray for, a name, all that. Or if you just want to give in general towards Christmas celebration, you can go online and Angel Trees in the drop-down menu. And then just like you put it in the memo of a check, just in the memo online, just put where you would want to donate. Like if it's Palomas, put Palomas in there, okay, so that we can sort that out. So that being said, I had a we've been going through the book of Philippians, and I was a little bit, for lack of a better word, troubled. It's probably not the most appropriate word, but one thing I notice is that, like, I'm looking at chapter 4, and I have 2 weeks to preach out of chapter 4, and of that 2 weeks, I've, like, there's, like, seven things that I could, like, love to preach on. And so, as I encouraged before, what kind of pastor would I be if I didn't tell you to go read your Bible? It gets all of the things that really we're not going to be able to go into, because I'm like, gosh, I feel like I'm only giving part. I'm like, you know, having to pick this or pick that. Well, you know what? It's not my responsibility to go into all of it. That's yours too, all right? I was doing the math, and if you were to, like, if the only place you got fed was at church, and you came every single Sunday through the year, you would get about 26 hours of teaching in the course of a whole year. How do you live your faith off of 26 hours? Okay? You can't, realistically. Like, now one word can speak a lot, but this is like a day by day, moment by moment, give your whole life. Okay? You got to hear the word, spend more time in it, like sit with him in it. Open your Bible, make that proportion go like crazy the other way. And then in all the times you're at work, learn how to live the word at work. And all the times that you're in having fun, learn how to really enjoy your life and live the word in your fun, okay? That's the point, all right? So I want to encourage that, because what I'm sharing today and what I'm going to share next week, man, there's just so many things I had to say no to say yes to these two. And I'm still going to trust God to speak to you as you go and look for yourself, okay? All right, so I'm going to share today out of Philippians chapter 4. Verses 4 through 9 is going to be the primary text. So it says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Okay, so let me give just like a quick synopsis of this. I'm going to start at the place of do not worry, okay? Instead, pray about everything. So first of all, he gave you a solution to the problem he presented, all right? He said, don't worry, pray about everything. And what happens when you pray about everything, when you open up and you speak plainly to God, when you're not afraid to ask, I mean, your father is the perfect father, right? He gives generously to his children. Every perfect, good and perfect gift comes from above, coming from the Father of heavenly lights, okay? There's no reason to be afraid to ask him for anything, all right? He loves it. And so as you speak to him, and especially as you give thanks, what happens? He grants you his peace, okay? And it's a peace that I'm not going to try to explain up here. It's something you have to experience because it says it's beyond our understanding, right? It's beyond our understanding. And what that peace does is it guards, it's like he appoints a guard over your mind and your heart to protect where you go from there, okay? Because the opposite is what worry allows in. And what prayer does is it appoints a guard. It's his peace that guards your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Okay, so when he continues into it, he says, think about such things, whatever's pure, right, noble, trustworthy, admirable. You know, when he goes into all of those things, he's saying, like what I shared a few weeks ago, in Philippians 1:7, it said, God will finish the work that he began in you. Okay, he will finish the work that he began in you. And so what happens is like when we work together with God is he starts that work, and just like the picture of the yeast and the dough, you take a little bit of yeast and you work it and you work it and you work it and you work it until it works through your whole life, okay? So you take that peace, what he started, that revelation of peace in your life that happens when you sit to pray, and you work that until every piece of your life is first like, I go to God, I don't worry. Okay, now there's this thing, initial concern, right? Like if I heard that like my son Emmett was playing out on the rocks and he fell off, would I initially be concerned? Yes, I hope so, right? that's a gift of, it's a gift of God to have an emotional response that brings that up. Okay, now that's different though than what I'm talking about worry. And I'm gonna try to explain this with how my primary mentor said this to me. And so about any thought in general. Okay, when you have a thought, it comes into your mind. Can you control every thought that comes into your mind? No. No. Now what you do with it is very different. Okay, but you can't necessarily decide like what's gonna come into your mind. I've had awesome thoughts come into my mind. I've had things that I'm like, I hope nobody ever finds out what just came into my mind, right? So you haven't actually ran into a problem there. Now there's a discipleship issue I'll go into in a sec on that, but it only becomes an issue if you take the thought and you own it. You own it. So basically you choose to agree with it. You give it a certain authority in your mind to do what it wants to do. Okay? That's how worry looks. That's how a lot of things look, like judgment. For example, if I'm walking down the street, down Main Street Durango, and I see someone who's very different than me, and the first thing that pops into my head is a judgment of that person, right? Because we tend to judge those who are different than us. Well, the fact that it popped in there, I can't necessarily do anything about that. It's there, right? But what I do with that is now my choice. Okay, what I do with that is now my choice. All right? Now, when in this verse where Paul is talking about do not worry and pray, instead pray about everything, he's giving an instruction first in how God is discipling us and how he starts this work in us. And then he continues when he says, set your mind on these certain things, about a piece that we have in it that has to do with owning thoughts or disowning thoughts. Okay, so let me break that down. So the first thing that he does is he renews our mind. This is the piece of how God disciples us. He renews our mind. Because what does it say happens when we pray? It says that when we pray, God gives us his peace. All right? That's revelation. That's like our eyes being opened. Okay? That's our eyes being opened. That's a gift of God. You can't earn revelation. Okay? That's a gift of God to give you that. So he allows you to see, and that changes things in your heart. Like for in the example I used about judging people, if God has granted me, if he's given me revelation about the value of people, like what people mean to him, you know what might change in me? Is that the first thought that comes up is be like, oh, look at that. Gosh, I would never do that with my hair, but look at that. Right? And you might actually find yourself complimenting. That might be the first thing that pops up. Okay? You can't make yourself think like that. You can't train yourself to think like that. You can do things that agree with that, but the fact is that God is the one who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. All right? So he renews our mind. Takes out all, he takes the filth and he renews it. He makes it something that you couldn't make it on your own. Okay? The second piece, though, is just like the working of the dough, is that we get to choose to agree with that work. All right? So if he gives us peace, then you know what we get to do with that? We get to take that peace and actually work it into every area of our life. Okay? Or sometimes the choice that we make is we don't work it into every area of our life. I'm like, oh, thank God you made me feel better about this one situation. And we don't take it and work it in the rest of our life. And what happens? It stops there when it didn't have to. It didn't have to. Okay? That's how discipleship processes so often work. Okay? God, in his goodness, gives us a revelation. Okay? And what we do with that revelation, it says that, you know, we work, when it said work out your salvation, we went over this a number of weeks ago, is to take what he did and continue to work it, continue to work at it until what? Until we end up in a place where abandonment is our reality. Okay? That takes, like, you can't force a relationship like that. Okay? He's good. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. All right? He's the one that leads us there. All of this is orchestrated by him. Okay? It's a choice to be willing to let go of those thoughts that aren't serving. So every discipleship process, and you'll see, I'm about to bring it full circle into what it means not to worry and to pray about everything. Every discipleship process has this general intention, okay? And I loved how actually Isaiah 43 put it, because I see this same thing all through the New Testament. This just put it really concise. So in Isaiah 43:10, it says, "You are my servant. You have been chosen to know me, believe in me, and understand that I alone am God." Okay? You've been chosen to know me, believe in me, and understand that I alone am God. There's no other God. There never has been, and there never will be. Okay? You have been chosen, like, think about it, the kindness of God to say that I want you to know me. And he chose you, and he made all these things happen in your life. Think about the effort that God has put into your life to bring you to where you're at right now, sitting in this place, hearing his word. It's a lot of things. A lot of things, especially the grayer your hair is, the more stories you got, right? Thank you. Hey, this is my invitation to actually be like, speak into our lives, okay? I'm acknowledging. Look at all of these stories. Amen. Look at all of the work that has been poured into you to set you right where you're at right now. Okay? That's not just for you. That is your empowerment for another. Amen. Okay? That is your authority. It says it's a crown in the word. Okay? It's a crown. So all of these things, everything he disciples us in is to know him, to believe in him, and to understand that he is in fact God. All the questions the Pharisees had and all that stuff is like, is Jesus actually the Son of God? When he's tempted, what does the devil tempt him with? Says, if you are the Son of God. Okay? So everything discipleship-wise is going to come to that. So here's the thing. When it says, do not worry, okay, pray about everything. Now, I'm going to, you guys may throw some stuff at me for this, but the fact is that we are often trained to think that we should only pray about the solution to our problem, right? That's where we tend to go, OK? okay? Here's the thing. God may not want your problem to disappear as quickly as you do. Okay? He may not want your problem to disappear as quickly as you do. And here's why. It's not from anything but love. It's not from anything but love. Hear that and let it sink. Hear that and let it sink. Okay? Because if we trust him with that, we don't need all of the answers. Okay? We don't need all of the answers. And wisdom is proved right by her actions. Meaning, if you give it time, if you are faithful to what he's doing, you will see his kindness in it. You will see his kindness in it. So when it says, do not worry, let me give you a dictionary definition of worry. Worry, to give way to anxiety or unease. To give way to anxiety or unease. To allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. To allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. Okay, let me reframe that. Worry requires your permission. Worry requires your permission. It cannot do anything unless you own it. It has no power over your life unless you own it and you give it permission to do so. And I promise you that the enemy works so many things. I'm going to break apart a few things of how he works through worry and why the remedy is prayer. Worry is when we give ourselves permission to be or stay in a place of unrest. In a place of unrest. Okay, so a few places how the enemy works in this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. I'm going to read from the New American Standard because I love how specific it is. In this, it says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Okay, so it brings up three things here of how the enemy works. Okay, speculations, lofty things, and we have to take every thought captive. All right, the NLT says that we are destroying every proud obstacle that sets itself up against people knowing God. All right. So it makes it really blatant. So speculations, let's start with that. This is a teaching that I heard from somebody else that I'm going to elaborate on. Speculations are the what-if statements. This is the most common thing we think about when it comes to worry, all right? Like, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if this doesn't happen, right? And do you know how much energy it takes to sit in that? Takes a lot of energy to sit in that, right? But there's endless things that can happen, both negatively and positively, right? But it's for whatever reason easier to think on the negative piece or to be concerned with the negative piece. Now, here's the thing, is that speculations, the what ifs, what are they doing? They're attacking what it means for you to get to know God on a greater level, for you to get to believe in him and to know that he is in fact God. Just like it said in Isaiah 43. Think about it. All the what-ifs that come in your life are going to challenge those statements. All of them. When you thinking about it, like, you know when you want an explanation from God on things, like, you're like, why is this happening? I need an explanation. Can I tell you what that just really exposes? Our lack of trust. Okay, when we feel we have to have it. Now, I'm not telling you not to go ask for it. Again, if he's your father, ask him a question. Gosh, keep it simple, right? Ask him. But don't be frustrated if he doesn't want to tell you why. Why? Because this whole thing is meant for you to know him more, to believe in him, and to understand that he is, in fact, God. He is sovereign over all the earth. Okay, sovereign. To understand that, you can't read a book on that. You can't just read a book on that, all right? You have to put it into practice. You have to learn to trust. You have to learn what to do in those what-ifs, okay? That's where this is going. Lofty things are things we make bigger than God, okay? things we make bigger than God. Let's say, for an example, let's say somebody gets sick and ends up having a lot of medical work and stuff. All of a sudden, they have a $100,000 bill after insurance. They're like, what do I do with that? Okay, the lie in lofty things that comes up is that the size of the problem somehow makes God less likely to be faithful. That's the lie that comes up with lofty things, is that the size of the problem somehow makes God less faithful. Can I tell you, if you have $0, it takes the same principle of faith to trust for five as it does for 500. Okay? Same principle of faith. Same requirement on your part to believe that he can make something from nothing. Like, numbers are irrelevant when it comes to that. Is he just as capable of producing one or the other? Right? So the lie that the enemy brings up, it's not to say numbers and all those things aren't important. The lie that the enemy brings up is that the size of the problem somehow makes God less faithful. That's not true. But it sure feels like that, right? When the numbers are bigger. Again, what's the enemy attacking? You growing in the knowledge of God, you learning to believe in him, to trust him, and you understanding that he is, in fact, God, and what that means. That's what's being attacked. Okay, thoughts. Thoughts could include speculations or lofty things, but thoughts can be anything negative, dwelling on the negative. Okay, it could be misunderstandings, thoughts around misunderstandings, or just ignorance. Okay, I've come to the point in my life where, like, ignorance used to be that word that you never used towards anybody. Now I'm like, man, I am ignorant. Okay, in a lot of things. Not saying I don't know anything, but I'm like actually okay with that. I'm actually very okay with that. I'll keep learning, I'll keep growing, but it doesn't make me less to not know what to do in something. Okay, you have permission and grace to not know everything. All right? In fact, there's probably a lot of purpose in that. Probably a lot of purpose in that. So thoughts, this is where most thoughts that cause us a lot of trouble are those assumptions that we've made by sight rather than the discernment that we've received through the Holy Spirit. Okay? Most of the thoughts that are the problems and worry are assumptions that we've made on sight about certain situations and all that, about what someone thinks, about it could be a number of things, right? But the fact is that truth only comes through discernment from the Holy Spirit, okay, discernment from God. So, and this, sometimes you know what this takes? I heard a quote this week that said, the best teacher is the job itself. Okay, the best teacher is the job itself. So where I'm applying that here is that you've read the word, you know what it says. The best teacher is when you take the work that he's put on you and you go and you practice it. Okay? That's what shifts this from theory and a good idea to you understanding that he is, in fact, God and growing in the knowledge of him and knowing what it means to trust and believe in him. That's what worry attacks. So when we worry, when we give permission, that's what we're giving permission for. Is all of those things to wreak havoc in our life. Okay? So Paul provides the antidote. And he says, instead, pray about everything. Instead, pray about everything. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. Okay, get this, like, thank him for what he's done. Like, pray about everything could mean talk to him about a whole lot of things, but he's very specific to say, thank him for what he has done. Give thanks in all circumstances. There's something that happens there, okay? then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. You know what it means that it says it exceeds anything we can understand? It means you can't rationalize it. You can't rationalize it. All right? He may bring you peace over a certain situation, but again, remember, like, he may not want your problem to end as quickly as you do. Why? Because he wants to teach you what it means to have peace and to rely on him in every circumstance. Okay? When you worry, you're giving into those thoughts because that's what we know to do, right? That's where we think we're going to find some kind of comfort or whatnot. When you pray instead, you're like, you know what? I'm coming to him first. Okay, that's what's really happening. I'm coming to him first. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I am absolutely certain that I need I actually need an outside influence to help guard my thoughts and my mind. My mind can go to terrible places, okay? I've been very gifted in how my mind works. I love that, okay? I'm really grateful for that. I also am very quick to overthink things. Can anyone relate? Okay? And bring up like 5 different stories that aren't actually happening about the same exact thing. Okay? I'm not going to throw out complimenting the grace of God that he's given me to create certain things in my mind, okay? That would be dishonoring to him. But we have to understand what kind of thoughts can show up there too. So what he does is he gives you his peace and it guards your heart and your mind, okay? And it keeps you from everything that you open up with and worry. Let me give you an example from my own life. So in the recent seasons, and I may have shared this, I know I've shared it with a few people, but in the recent seasons, I've come to this place where I've been praying a lot in my garage, and I've had these situations where I have felt truthfully like really discouraged about certain things and like even hopeless at times. Okay? And this is what so the Lord's working through it. I'm honest with him. I'm like, this is how I feel about it. This is where I'm at. All right? Lord, you know what to do. Talk to me. Tell me whatever you need to do. Okay? And I find myself in this place where many times, naturally, the conversation as I have prayed has been like, you know what? Even if I fall, like, in this situation, if I fall flat on my face, or if everything fails, or if I end up in a way worse shape than I thought, like, you are still going to go and teach people the right things. You're still going to go and set people free. You're going to speak life. You're going to keep doing all of these things, no matter what happens to me. You're going to do awesome things. No, I'm not saying I'm like, you know, on fire rolling down a hill, okay? But you're going to keep doing all of those things. And you know what kind of peace and satisfaction came over me? And joy. Not how I expected it in the form of some sort of happiness about the whole thing, but this security in what was put on my heart. This security of what was put on my heart. To know that this is who I believe in. And I had great peace. And you know what? Not a single circumstance in my life changed. It didn't have to. That's not what he was trying to teach me. To grow in relationship with God, to believe in God, and to understand that he is, in fact, God, sovereign over all. That's what his peace does. And can I tell you that it didn't change any circumstances to give me that peace? But that peace did change some circumstances. I had to go back to it and remember it, okay? Because if I just heard it that one time and it made me feel better in the moment, and then I went on thinking like I think about everything else like I've always done, would it have helped me? No. Remember, 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 remember. God gives you one piece, and you take that piece and you work it through the dough, right? You work it until it covers your whole life. Like, yes, you are the God of peace, Prince of Peace. And know, man, it makes it a lot easier. Like, I always would listen to that verse. I think it's in Isaiah that says, whether you turn to the left or to the right, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way and walk in it. It's like, I always wanted my faith to be like that. right? And I'm not going to go into if it should or shouldn't look like that. But you know, the reality that I came to is that I actually have to, in order to even like live like that, I have to be okay with whatever he chooses for my life to actually walk like that. If he chooses something that's not at all what I want, or not at all what I think is best, would I trust him for that? Because that's the only way that you can have satisfaction in moving forward like that. It's the only way you can have joy in moving forward like that. So let it go, right? Held a glass jar a few weeks ago. I said, do you think it's going to break? And some people said yes, some people said no. And I dropped it, and it obviously broke. You don't know, actually, though, until you let go. You have all the theory in the world. You can't build a real relationship with God on theory, okay? You have to practice it. We know in part and we prophesy in part. You're not going to get all the answers, okay? But you have to practice it, all right? Jesus gave us this same statement that we're reading in Philippians that Paul talked about. In John 14:27, he says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. It's a gift you can't find elsewhere. How do you receive a gift that you can't find elsewhere? You can only find it through him. And you know, a good place to start? Ask. Why are we so afraid to ask for so many things? You know what? I'm not even going to tell you what to ask for and not ask for in your life. I'm going to let the Lord teach you that. Okay? Because everything has to do with your motives. But so, you know how I've come to this realization recently where so many things I was afraid to ask God for, I felt like they were not appropriate or selfish or whatnot. And I was very convicted where it's like, do you just not trust me with something like that? Is it too awkward to talk about? Like, I am your father. What can you not talk to me about? What can you not talk to me about? Okay? And then let him disciple you. Let him disciple you. I'm not going to tell you what you should ask for or what you shouldn't. Okay? And then he may say, like, you're just asking for that because you're being selfish. Or he might be like, gosh, it's about time you actually asked me for that. You know how long you've been afraid to ask for that? Like, I would love to give it to you. I honestly needed, like, a good season where you could receive it. Like, I needed to work on your heart where you could actually receive and have the courage to ask me for something like that. You know, James said, you do not have because you do not ask God. You do not have because you do not ask God. Or when you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Okay? He'll teach you out of it. But don't be afraid to ask. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and peace of heart. And the peace that I give is a gift the world cannot give. Okay, it only comes through him. You can't earn it. All right? You can agree with it by setting your mind on the right things, but you can't earn it. It's a gift. That's the nature of a gift. You can't earn a gift. All right? That's what he wants to do. And if he wanted to give you the greatest gift in the world, would you be ready to receive it? Would you be willing to receive it? Would your heart be open enough to receive it? You have to answer that question for yourself. Some things I can, like, I've been convicted. I'm really hard-hearted about. God has to work on that. You know what? He's going to keep doing what he's doing no matter where I'm going. I say no matter where I'm going. I'm going to take that back. Forgive me. He's going to keep doing what he's doing. He's going to keep teaching me how to know him, to have faith in him, and to understand that he is, in fact, God. Everything he does is going to do that. I had verses 8 through 9 in Philippians 4, 8 through 9. This is a verse that means actually a lot to me. This is one that I prayed over my son before he goes to bed for at least 5 years, almost every night. I pray that his thoughts would be noble, right, praiseworthy, excellent, admirable. Why? Because I want him to think on such things. Be in agreement with the work of God in his life. Okay? That's his piece. Have courage, son, to think on those things when it's so easy to worry, when it's so easy to give permission for these things to happen in your life. So easy. Why is it so easy? And yet, it's so much better to think in agreement with the gift that he has given. Remember, his peace is revelation that's given to you. He's opened your eyes to see what's actually going on, what's important, what's not. Your peace, giving you peace does not mean that he has to give you the answer to your problem. All right? It's just to set your heart in a place of connection with him. That's why you pray. It's because you align with him. Lori Van Ingen was teaching about prayer for the last number of weeks out of a book, and a statement that came up was that when you pray, you give something to God that no one else can give him. You. Okay? Nobody else can give him that. Not a single human being on this planet can give him the same thing. See how awesome that is? And that he chose you to know him and to believe in him and understand that he is, in fact, God, that he wants to tell you. He wants that. He made the first move, and he'll make the last. Everywhere in between. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up, please. So it's in the... I've been kind of mulling over the story of the prodigal son a lot more, because that's one of those stories that I've heard so many times that it's, you hear it a lot and it kind of gets dull, or you're like, I know it. But then when you sit and you spend more time with it, it's like, oh, there are so many more things that this has to say to me than I really grasp. So the story of the prodigal son, I'm going to paraphrase it real quick, but basically there's a father. He has two sons. The older son stays with him, is faithful to the house and all that. And then his younger son's like, I actually want to go live my own life. So can I have my share of the inheritance? And so he goes off, ends up spending all of his money, goes broke, and he ends up in this really unfortunate spot where he's like serving a bunch of pigs. And he's like, gosh, even my father's servants live better than this. Like, this was a horrible decision. I'm going to go back to my father because even if I'm not a son, I'll still live better than this. And so he goes back, and it says while he's still a long ways off, the father sees him and goes up to him, runs up to him, and places the robe and welcomes him back into the house as a son. He didn't have to convince him. In fact, the son tried to convince him the other way, but the father was refusing in that. Just like he'll refuse any excuse you have to not be a son or daughter. He will refuse it. Why? Because he chose you. He chose you. Think about that. He chose you. And the older brother gets bitter about the whole thing. He's like, why are you giving such favor to the son who more or less spit in your face? And he's like, the father says, well, he was dead and now he's alive. Like, we have to celebrate. And the older brother's like, well, if I even wanted like one animal to butcher for a big party, like, you've never even given me that. And he's like, all I have is yours. Why? You don't have because you don't ask. You don't have because you don't ask. It's been there. Okay? It's been there. The Father's love and kindness has been there. And the thing is that he wants to be generous in that. There's no greater barrier we can put up than to just say, no, I don't want what you have for me by being stubborn and sitting in worry. You can ask for this. There's no reason not to ask. There's no reason not to ask. My mentor, I remember he was telling me a story about how he would get up in the morning and he's like, I asked the Lord, I felt kind of dry in my quiet times. And I asked the Lord, hey, like, I feel like disconnected. Like, what should we do to connect more? And it was impressed on him to go out and sit in the garden and just be quiet and not say anything and just let it be, okay? So he goes out there and he does that for like a week and a half, like 1 to 2 hours a day. Does it for like a week and a half, and he's like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know if I could keep doing this. All right? He's not getting any like revelation or anything like that. And so he gets to this point about a week and a half in, and he just asks, he's like, Lord, is this even like, does this please you? Like, is this important to you? Is this what you wanted when you gave me that instruction? And as quickly as he says it, he gets a text message from a close friend of his, that's a close friend of mine, that says, I just got this word that the Lord wants you to know that he is pleased with you and enjoys the time. Right? Why are we so afraid to ask when something like that could come? So of course he wept. He wept. Would you? I would. There's such bigger things going on here than a problem we want to escape or an issue we want to settle. I'm not saying those things aren't important, but they're most important for you to get to know God, to learn to believe in him, to trust him, and to understand that he is, in fact, God, sovereign over everything. And all your excuses in the world won't change any of those things. Father, I'm asking that you would speak what each individual heart needs to hear, especially in the realm of sitting with you in prayer. Not for the purpose of receiving your peace, but the purpose of delighting in spending time with you. Take whatever is drawn on their hearts right now. I see a lot of hearts right now that you have spoken to and drawn something out. Drawn something out that says, yes, I want that kind of relationship with him. I want to know him. I want to trust him. I want to understand that he is, in fact, God. Will you give them the courage and the people around them this week to build on that? Will you give them the peace that they need to, not necessarily with their specific problem, but let them receive your peace no matter what it looks like in the way they can never fathom, that they can never understand, that they can never rationalize? Will you give them that peace so that they move forward better than they would have expected if you gave them the answer they were looking for? And let it be in Jesus' name. Amen.